Wings Above the Diamantina. A human story from Northwest Queensland.
Boney, the half-caste detective, has been conducting his investigations on the case of the stolen aeroplane with characteristic thoroughness. After leaving Coolibah Homestead, he spent a night in a stockman's hut near Emu Lake, and before long had gained from Ned Hamblin an admission that Ted Sharp, the boss stockman, had not told the truth about his movements. He is now on Emu Lake with the two black trackers, Bill Sykes and Shuteye, and they have just been overtaken by a sandstorm. Captain Lovacre has taken off from Golden Dawn with the fire assessor, Mr. Cartwright, and they, too, are bound for Emu Lake.
How high are we now, Captain Lovacre?
5,000 feet. Golden Dawn looks pretty small now, eh?
Yes, like a worn patch on a dark green carpet, isn't it?
You see the St. Albans Road? That thin, reddish-brown line running away into the scrub?
Yes?
That's the way we go. You'll be able to see Coolibah Homestead any moment now. See that fork in the road? The lower one is the private track to the house.
By Joe, that's a wonderful sight. Funny thing, though, we don't seem to be moving. The ground seems to be spinning away beneath us.
Yes, you wouldn't think we were doing 150 miles an hour, would you?
I certainly wouldn't. What's that great muddy brown streak ahead of us?
Oh, that's the Diamantina River.
I don't see any water.
No, it's always dry at this time of year. Extraordinary river, isn't it? It's close on 15 miles wide here.
15 miles?
Yes, it's made up of a whole string of channels full of rocks and sand dunes and bits of scrubby islands. I wouldn't like to have a forced landing there.
I bet you wouldn't. Hello, are you going down?
Yes, we're not far from Emu Lake now. See that windmill right away in the distance?
Yes.
That's Mitchell's Well. Far away bore is away on the other side, further north.
I say, Lovacre, what's that huge grayish-brown mass coming towards us?
By Jove, that's dust. We'd have to steer well away from that.
Why?
It'd make a pretty nasty mess of a plane. You couldn't fly through it. It's something like a waterspout at sea, a great whirling vortex of sand and hot air.
Really? That sounds most interesting.
Most interesting, believe me, Cartwright. It'd spin us round like a top, and we'd be out of control in 30 seconds.
And then?
We'd go down into terra firma again, rather too quickly to be comfortable.
You mean we'd crash?
Oh, undoubtedly. There wouldn't be much of us left for your insurance company to investigate.
What a cheerful bird you are.
There's the stockman's hut at Faraway Ball. You see? Over on our right.
Ah, yes. I suppose that's where the detective is now. What's that glinting light just the other side of it?
That's the board itself.
Ah, yes, I see.
That sandstorm's getting close. I'll have to put the ship up higher. I can't get above it.
It's terrific. Just like a solid cliff.
My oath it is.
It's sweeping out of the paddocks down there. Look, it's almost on top of the hut. There's a man running towards the hut, too.
I'm sorry for him. He'll have a rough time in it.
What are we going to do?
I'm going to do my best to get to the lake before it catches us.
Can you make it?
Oh, I must. I've got to make it.
It's not far away from us now.
No, but there's Emu Lake in front of us. I'm going straight down now. Hold on tight, Cartwright. I've got to make a quick landing.
You there, Shuteye?
Yes, boss. Boney, I've been here.
It's clearing up now, I think. Stick it a bit longer, boys.
Listen, boss. Airplane.
So it is. I can see nothing in this dust, though.
I know been like to fly in this, boss.
No, me, Shuteye. I've been thinking if plane come up and bash on top of us fellas.
It's growing lighter now. Oh, I can breathe again.
It been nearly gone now, boss. We've been standing up.
All right, Shuteye. Let us see if we can breathe standing up. It is not so bad now.
There be plane, boss. Look, it come down on lake.
I wonder who that can be. Come on, you two. We will go and see who they are.
By God, Boney, you've been look funny. You've been look like a been sleeping in a dog box.
You look as bad, Shut-Eye. And you, Bill Sykes.
Me feel like Snake after Jackass done eating him.
How uncomfortable this sand is. It's everywhere. In my clothes, mouth, my eyes, my hair.
Well, no more track 'em now, boss. We've been finished, eh?
Yes, we cannot do any more now. You can both go home.
What you do, Boney?
I'm going to look at that aeroplane. There may be some news from Golden Dawn. Not a word, mind you, either of you, about that wool we found. Promise?
To lie,
boss!
And not a word to Ned Hamlin, either.
No, boss. We no been talk.
All right. You can go, then. Tell Ned Hamlin I will be back for tea.
Good old one.
Well, now that we're down, Cartwright, I don't mind telling you we're darned lucky.
Oh, really? I rather wondered about that, you know, during those last few minutes in the air.
Well, you're pretty cool about it.
Wasn't much use being anything else, was it?
No, it wasn't.
Anyway, I feel much happier now that I've my feet on firm ground again.
Place it in a bit of a mess. Joe, just look at the trees, all covered with sand. I've never seen such a storm.
It's almost like colored snow, isn't it?
Yes, you're right.
Well, how about starting work? That's the remains of your other aeroplane over there, isn't it?
That's it. Nice mess it is now, too.
Well, the fire hasn't left much. I think there'll be enough, though, to tell me what I want to know. Excuse me, Lavega, will you? I'm going to poke about among the debris.
Right you are. Go ahead.
This is pretty serious, Lavega. I'm glad I had a look at the debris. I found more here than I bargained for.
Really? What happened?
I can't tell you just for a moment. Hello, who's this coming towards us?
Good Lord, what an amazing sight. Is it a man?
Looks rather like a black fellow to me, what I can see of him. He looks as if he'd been buried in the sand for a couple of years.
So would you, Cartwright, if you had been throughout that storm.
Good afternoon, gentlemen.
Hello, where did you come from?
I'm just out for an afternoon ride. I had a horse until that storm came along. Who, may I ask, are you?
I beg your pardon, who the devil are you?
I am Detective Inspector Napoleon Bonaparte. Boney, for short.
Mr. Bonaparte, I'm very glad to meet you. My name is Cartwright, and this is Captain Lovegar.
I am very pleased to meet you.
I was hoping to meet you out here. I've been sent, you know, by the Air Accidents Investigation Committee to find out whether this fire was due to incendiarism or an act of God.
I shall be very interested, then, to hear your report.
Have you discovered any leads yet?
Suppose you tell me first, Mr. Cartwright, what you have discovered.
Well, my report, of course, has to be submitted confidentially to the Air Accidents Committee.
I presume you are a civil servant?
No, a fire insurance assessor employed by an insurance company.
Your pardon. My mistake is natural. I had no idea that red tape was so prominent a feature in the insurance world.
Almost as much as it is in the civil service. By the way, I was told by Sergeant Cox to call you Boney. Is that right?
Yes, I dislike being addressed as Inspector or Mister, and I hate red tape with all my soul. There is only one other man who hates red tape as much as I. That is my chief, Colonel Spender.
Yes, I know that. I've had dealings with him once or twice.
But you were about to tell me how Captain Lovacre's machine was destroyed.
I wasn't going to do anything of the sort. However, I don't mind telling you that the aeroplane carried a high explosive when it was destroyed by fire. The explosion of petrol in the tanks couldn't itself have been of sufficient force to do so much damage.
That's just what I thought.
A petrol explosion could never have flung that heavy engine so far forward, the wing so far from the fuselage, and the other fragments to such a great distance.
I thought exactly the same when I reviewed the wreck earlier in the day. Now, do you think the machine was blown up by the explosive and then caught on fire, or do you think the explosive was detonated by the fire?
I'm pretty sure the fire detonated the explosive.
Thank you. Perhaps you could give the explosive a name?
Well, Boney, my instructions are not to divulge my findings until my report is submitted to the committee.
I understand that quite well, Mr. Cartwright. I know also that in due time I shall have the gist of your report through my department, let us say in a fortnight's time. But in 2 weeks' time, your report will be quite valueless, for by that time I shall know all I want to know.
Indeed? You're as far advanced as that?
I have my own theories. All I need now is to prove them correct. Now, Mr. Cartwright, there is a young lady lying at Coolabah Homestead who is so helpless that she cannot even raise or lower her eyelids. Dr. Knowles says that if he cannot cure that paralysis very soon, she is certain to die. And until we have cleared up the mystery of this burnt aeroplane, we cannot know what has been done to her. Your reticence may easily cause her death, Mr. Cartwright.
Well, if that's so, I have no hesitation in telling you. The explosive was nitroglycerine.
Nitroglycerine. I thank you very much, sir. You may be sure I will treat your confidence with the greatest respect. I think, too, you may be instrumental in saving that girl's life.
I certainly hope so.
Have you discovered how the aeroplane was fired?
No, that is nothing definite. Have you any proofs?
Yes, I have proof that a man walked through the bush, set fire to the machine here, and then walked back through the bush to the main Golden Dawn, St. Albans Road. Have you found anything that might be called a clue among the debris? Buttons, for instance, or pieces of woman's wearing apparel?
Nothing. I can't understand the motive for destroying the aeroplane that way.
I can. Fingerprints. Yeah. Either the man who stole the machine did not think he would have to abandon it, or else he never believed it would escape destruction when he did so. The presence of nitroglycerine points to the fact that it was deliberately abandoned. The idea being, I suppose, that it would crash with its passenger and be blown to bits by the explosive. Captain Lovacre, you cannot account for this explosive being in your aeroplane, can you?
No, I can't. I've never had any of the stuff in my show.
It was quite beyond me.
Suppose this fellow did take the girl up in my plane and then leave her to crash. Why on earth should he go to all that trouble? Can you answer me that, Boney?
I feel cramped.
Cramped? Then how about a bottle of beer? I've got some in the plane.
Beer will not remove the cause. Like Mr. Cartwright, I am cramped with red tape.
Meaning what?
Simply that you are no less reticent than the others, Captain Lovacre.
I get you. Go on.
How far, in your opinion, would your machine have flown after the pilot left it?
Well, now you're asking me. In still air, it might have flown miles, or it might have stalled immediately.
Being familiar with the machine, could you have fixed the controls with wire or some other means to make itself flying for a while?
I think I might do that in still air. But when I jumped, the sudden redistribution of weight would not be counted without someone at the controls. On the other hand, the machine might not have been upset by the pilot leaving it. It's hard to say with any certainty.
Was it easy to fly?
Oh, very. I often flew without touching the controls for long periods.
Then assuming the thief did fix the controls, hoping it would fly some way before crashing, what would most likely have happened?
That depends whether he turned the engine off or not.
He would naturally do that, wouldn't he? For the moment, we'll assume that he did.
In that case, the plane would probably begin to lose height, first of all, though not necessarily flying speed.
I observe that the tracks made by the aeroplane on landing are very deep and long. That would suggest, I suppose, that it landed at great speed.
Yes, it must have been an extremely lucky landing.
It was. You realize, of course, that all the surrounding country is scrub and broken sand plains.
Yes, Emu Lake is the only patch of decent ground for miles.
It was most unfortunate for the criminal that the machine should happen to land here. Another mile or so, and we should never have heard anything of the aeroplane again. Nor of that poor paralyzed girl.
By Jove, yes. You're right, Boney.
Chance plays us some strange tricks, Lovacre.